listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We've been talking about a few different things today, and Rick, I'm not even going to finish that thought that I had a minute ago because we actually have three callers on the line waiting right now.
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's take Sherry in Kansas on line three first. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Yeah, that gravity, it will get you down. Hey, you were talking about the fires in California, and McKinney mentioned on his program this week that he thinks that they're burning it out to so they can mine the uranium. Which people in California put up with that.
Well, you can't. They shot Lloyd Finucane in the head for it. I don't think they care how many people they shoot for it. They'll do it. They're not finished.
Yeah. I didn't have a very good garden this year because we got so much rain. It just drowned it out. But I was determined to grow something, so I grew some turnips this fall. And I was looking in this wild fermentation book by Sandor Katz.
Oh, sure.
Have you seen that one, Rick?
I have not, but I have been looking into the probiotic. I'm all about the fermenting of these things. They last a long time, and they're so good for you. Things like that, and kimchi, and all that. Sauerkraut, of course, is probably the fermented product most folks are familiar with. But please continue.
I didn't have all the ingredients, but I did have the turnips, so I just tried to do the turnips. He's got this one recipe in here, radish and root kimchi, and daikon radishes, burdock roots, turnips, Jerusalem artichokes, carrots, and a few small red radishes. And so
you put all that in there?
Sounds like you have most of that.
Oh, that probably tastes great. Oh, I bet that's going to be really good.
But he says just a week. In it, and his brine of 3 tablespoons of salt to a quarter of water.
Two.
So,
no,
and
not,
I tried it with some radishes, and it takes some of the bite out of them, and it's not bad.
As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought up the daikon radishes. Hoss Tools sells a 10-pound bag. And they use it as a cover crop in the winter, and then they till it in. But like one of the guys said, he went to the local market and found daikon radishes in the upscale section of the produce department, and they were asking big money. I'm growing daikon radishes right now, And, you know, they'll get to be a foot 18 inches long. And you can do a lot of things with them, including daikon burgers, which is, you know, wonderful stuff. But not to interrupt, please continue.
Well, and he's even got a recipe in here where you throw in a little horseradish, too, which
yep.
is, I've got mm-hmm. horseradish, so I'll have to try
sure.
that. But, yeah, it's, so I just, and I want to tell people that arugula is something
yep.
you can grow in the winter time. So far we've had
right.
temperatures down to 19, and what
yeah.
I couldn't cover up with something still lived through that, which surprised the heck out of me. But
yeah, some things don't care about that. Some things don't. Spinach is real good about that. Lettuce is pretty good, not as good. Broccoli is very cool. Kale, they say when that, you know, gets frosted or frozen a couple times, it just gets better and better. Yeah, I believe that is true. Last year I took some that had been hit by a hard freeze and made kale pesto, and that was dang good. That was really good.
But one thing you can do for a quick cold frame is buy two of the window well covers for your basement. They're the same shape, and you just use the big clamps that they use on papers. You know, they're usually black on the part that grips, and they've got a real strong spring in them. Put some of those to hold them together, because clothespins won't do it. I tried that.
Yeah, those
and,
are those Harbor Freight woodworking clamps. Yeah, those are woodworking clamps. You can get a lot of them for not much money.
But, and then you, when you store them, you can, you know, slide them against each other so they're, you know, they won't take up that much room when you store them, but they sure make a handy, you know, prompt-to cold frame. And then they're also real good if you happen to have tractor tires or you're growing stuff in the wintertime as raised bed. So anyway, that's all I had.
Well, that's real nice. Yeah, I appreciate that. That is cold frames. Every single layer of cover moves your house 500 miles south. So, you know, if you're in a zone 5 like I am, you know, that's going to put you well into 6. So you're extending your growing season every time you do that. So I'm all for it. I think at some point, if we keep doing this green solar minimum thing, I think everybody is going to have to come up with some kind of a cold frame. I could be wrong about that, but it's just I can kind of feel it coming.
Well, and I think those things are rated UV resistant because they use them to put, they have, you know, for putting over your window wells for your basement.
Oh yeah.
So I think there's some.
Yeah, they'll
UV
hold
resistant.
Up a good 10 years, right? Yeah, they're polycarbonate. They are UV resistant. That's fact.
So. Okay, that's all I had. Thanks. Bye.
Right. Thanks, Sherry. You have a great weekend, hon. Okay, our next caller is Carla. Good morning, Carla.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how
good
are
morning.
You guys this morning?
Oh, fine.
We're good. How are you?
I'm here. Hey, two things, I guess. I'm glad you like, well, three, I guess. Glad you like the sunglasses. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get yours, Lori?
No.
I guess you didn't get yours, Lori. Oh, I'm just teasing you.
We got her welding goggles, so she didn't have to look at Tim.
Oh.
We got her welding goggles.
Thanks.
Sorry about that. Sorry,
excellent idea.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Because he's as and bright as the sun. I know he's listening.
He
yeah,
is.
You can't look right at
beaming,
him, you'll go blind.
Beaming.
Yeah.
Just beaming. Okay, my serious questions to... why when you guys post the show, like, on Wednesday, is there only the second half of the show?
Uh-oh.
Like, if I miss the
Uh-oh.
Show, I'd like to hear the whole show.
Oh, you'll have to. That's weird.
Normally it's, actually, no, normally it's Tim posting the show, but
here lately, I don't think he's been doing it. I'll have to ask him about it.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find it, but I've...
Yeah.
But
well,
I,
we did post...
I mean, I catch the show normally, but if I miss it, I want to hear the whole thing.
Well, he did send it to me one time, and I did post it on our page on Facebook. Two different postings. One was half hour, one was second hour. But that was the only one he sent me, so I'm not sure... to be honest, why we stopped posting, other than it's probably been an issue about the servers.
Well, okay.
Good question for him when he's back online. Which
well, didn't I hear that they're on RBN's site anyway, though? Or am I getting that wrong?
I have never been able to find it there. When I just search for you guys on the RBN site, it doesn't come up.
I thought they kept archives. Well,
The
I don't
show
generally
does not
have
come
to go back
whatsoever.
And look because, yeah, normally I'm, I don't want to hear what I've done because I'm afraid of what I'll hear. But so I don't go back. But never go backward, always move forward. Boy, I don't know. I thought they were at the end. But, you know, you can always call back in a few minutes and talk to Ken. Maybe he knows. He might know.
I already talked to Ken when I called in, and I don't think he wants to talk to me anymore because I kind of am like
What'd you,
you
do?
I think.
What'd you
I
do?
Just said,
What'd
he
you
said, what's
him?
Your first name? He said, yeah. What's your first name? And I said, Carla Rick's sister. And he said, excuse me? I said, that's my first name, Carla Rick's sister. And he was like, is that with a C or a K?
That'll get, right there, that'll get you handcuffed. Yeah, that, one of your hands behind you. Yeah, you don't ever tell anybody that one. Okay.
I did say, we did discuss the bumper music, which is fabulous, so, But
oh,
anyway,
yeah. Well,
another
he is
question.
Doing a great job.
Yeah. Hey,
yes,
my Oriental tribes.
Well, you know, it's a question you want to. You know, Carla, if it's a question you want to post to Ken, just go ahead and ask because I know he's listening, and he can either jump in or he can message me on Skype and let me know the answer for you. So.
Well, I don't think he can answer it. I mean, when I search for the show, like if I just go to the RBN page. And search the show, it doesn't come up. Or if I search your one of your names, still can't find the show.
Well,
which I think is very strange.
Well, we'll.
I mean, do you have to have
to
such a big fan base
that?
That
well. There you go.
Okay. Oh, all right. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay.
Did you guys hear voices? Did you hear voices? Because lately,
I did, but
I thought it was. I thought it was God, but what you know? There I go.
I talked
thought
to
it
God,
was.
But he doesn't usually
seriously.
Talk back.
I did. I was thinking that. Oh, my guardian angel, one or the other. Which, by the way, we need to get in one of these days. Did you have a third question, or did I have a stroke? Go
well, no. I started to talk about it, and then we got sidetracked. Oriental tribes. They were doing terrific. You know, Rick. You know, I had to grow them in a pot because. I just, you know, the dogs eat everything I try and grow, including my loco weed. They just eat that right out of the pot, you know. They don't care.
That's well, maybe you know what I heard weird. On the movie The Patriot was a dog is a fine meal. So that was right out of the Lewis and Clark book. So, you know, I would feed them well for about a month and then go ahead and process them, smoke part of it. Make sure you smoke part of it. Don't waste it. And then in the freezer
some bacon,
with that. And
dog
then,
bacon?
Then I think your chives will do better. Okay.
You're going to have all kinds of animal people calling us.
The puppy, he could be like veal. You know, they eat blue buffalo, so, you know, they're eating well. But anyway, my chives are up high. He's not touching them. But
and?
They were doing... And
well,
so
they're
all of a sudden, they just started going brown. You know, they're inside.
Are you kidding me? That's what they do. They flower, and then they turn brown, and then you ain't going to have no chives again until spring. That's the way it is.
Oh, that's just wrong. So replanting them is not going to make them regrow.
Well, then didn't you say it was in a pot?
Yeah, it's in a pot. They've always
been
in
a
pot.
Okay, you could have brought the pot in the house. All right, well, I just brought in... the lemon tree, the bay tree, and which Laurie has seen, and my rosemary. My rosemary bush is now 5.5, 6 feet tall, That is one.
Yeah, which I'm supposed to get a cutting bush for years, and I'm still waiting on that. Remember, remember this conversation?
I'll try it again. I'll try to make
Thank
it real.
You.
It's difficult. Yeah, not at all.
Okay.
So, yeah, text me later. Was there anything
okay.
else? I think we're going to move along.
No, I was just trying to figure out my chive. I didn't know if I did something wrong since I've never tried to grow them before.
No, it's a circle of life. No, you're doing fine. Okay.
No, but if I do, but if I put them, feed the pot again, then they'll come back out. I don't
if you bring the pot in, yeah, cut it all the way off, bring the
it's
pot
always
in,
been
water,
inside.
Put your
it's
sunny
never,
window.
But it's, okay, it's never been outside.
You didn't put the chives outside?
No, these have always grown inside. I had some stuff growing outside, lettuce and stuff like that. I just brought my lettuce pot inside.
Okay, let them cycle out and don't overwater them and put them in a sunny window on the south side of the house or the west and see if they don't come back.
Okay, awesome. I thank you guys.
All right. Hasta mañana.
Please, Rick, happy Veterans Day. Okay.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye.
Love you,
thanks,
bye.
Carla. Have a good weekend, hon. We got all the questions answered, and hopefully she remembered to stay on the line so she could talk to Ken. Our next caller is Michael in New York on line 5. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Rick and Lori, and I hope Tim's having a great day. Rick, I like your sense of humor. The beatings will continue until the morale improves. That's classic stuff right there.
Yeah, oh, it's perfect. Yeah, it's our government for you.
Oh, gosh. You know, regarding the fires in California, along with everything that's been covered, and all of it, I'm sure, is part of the plan, there's another factor. And, you know, like the wine country area, Santa Rosa, that whole area, burning up. And it just, you know, it's nice and convenient to force those wine growers, grape growers and winemakers out of business. And then somebody can come in and clean it up pennies on a dollar. You know, so I think you've got that at play as well. And
well, do you remember the water shortage and the snail darter nonsense? I'm pretty sure Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi and her husband are buying California for 3 cents on the dollar. I'm pretty sure. And by the way, I hear it's
right.
Nice place.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely
the
motives there.
Oh, yeah. If after they've got the deed, the water will mysteriously come off.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to look behind the scene and see now who's the new owner of it all, right?
Well, you remember that Wizard of Oz movie, The Little Man Behind the Curtain? Don't look at him.
Sure.
Don't look at the little man. Pay no attention to the little man behind the curtain.
That's right. How about the prohibition on alcohol? You know, prior to the prohibition, there were what they call today mini breweries, you know, independent breweries all over the place, right? Then you got the prohibition. They're all forced out of business. The gangsters, they keep the supply going to all those that want to drink. And then the prohibition is reversed. Alcohol's legal again. The little microbreweries of the time, they're all gone. And then you got a monopolization of the alcohol industry. Boy, boy, that worked out really conveniently for them, didn't it?
That's very convenient. By the way, Michael, have you seen the movie Lawless? With
Lawless?
Lawless, one word, Lawless. You're going to love that. It's about just exactly that. But no kids in the room, man. It's a rough one. But it is a very, very good movie. I watch that thing still about every 60 days. Who is he? He was Bane. He's Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy is a hell of an actor, and him and Shia LaBeouf from the Transformers, is that right? I think that's Shia LaBeouf. What a movie. My God.
Yes.
But it's about the politicians would show up in their chauffeur limousines to buy bootlegged whiskey and things. And don't go away, Mike. Stay there.
Hold on, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes during our break. Number is 1-800-313-9443. We'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to the Real Survival Show here on RBN. At the moment, we are speaking with Michael in New York. Michael, you were getting ready to finish up your thoughts, I thought, but I could be wrong, but go ahead.
Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you, Lori. Uh-huh. I'd like to make a touch on the subjects of Marie Antoinette and Max Kaiser, and a follow-up real quick on a conversation last week on some sure. biblical oh, stuff.
Yeah.
Rick, I'll check out that movie.
We were done.
Thank you. I'll check out
that last week's conversation. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm going to check out that movie, First Chance I Get. I appreciate that.
Oh, I know you're going to I know you will.
Yep, it sounds good. And anything based on historical fact, because, you know, this is how they operate. They drive somebody out of business. You know, look what they did to a lot of the farmers out in the Midwest section, primarily, where they bankrupt them and then come in and just buy it all up, pennies on a dollar, monopolize it all into a big corporate agro outfit. You know, it's the same MO with these dirtbags. But
boy, it sure is.
You know, regarding Marie Antoinette, what people have to understand is when she said, and if she did say it, because some historians from France also say somebody else said it, that was a noblewoman, of royal lineage.
Oh, well.
But a cake
I could be wrong.
In that day. Well, yeah, but that's what we're taught in history books. But when you do a lot of study, one historian from France said no, it was a noblewoman from the French aristocracy that said that.
Sure.
But the bottom line is, they didn't say it in a demeaning way, like, let the peasants eat cake, the hell with them. You know, it wasn't anything like that. It was that the people were starving, literally, and they said, let them eat our food, because cake in that day was royalty food. It took a long time, a huge kitchen, to make cake. You had to refine and process the flours and all the ingredients. It was expensive, laborious, and time-consuming. The common people didn't eat cake. So when things were that bad, they were. She and Marie Antoinette said, give them our food, is really what she was saying. And also, you know, she...
That is hard to believe. That's not the interpretation that we have...
Sure.
Been, yeah.
Exactly. We're led to believe.
Right.
Yes, it
didn't
is.
Didn't they still
it
cut
is.
Their head
and,
off anyway, though?
Yes, they did, but you see now, you had the French Revolution, which was the first form of a communist plot, right? And you had the American Revolution going on here, the Marquis Lafayette, a great Frenchman that fought alongside George Washington, and he was an aristocrat, but he really liked the American Revolution concept. And so when he went back to France, he wasn't arrested by the monarchy and aristocrats. He was arrested by Robespierre and they were Jesuit-based, but technically communist, first manifestation of what we call communism today. And so you had this revolutionary thing going on. All of Europe was very unstable already during that time frame. Now, Marie Antoinette, out of Austria, princess, she was already married at 15 years old to the Dauphin, who was only 16. Now, what do those kids know at that age, even when you're born with a silver spoon, right? You're kids. And then they're brought right into the intrigues of court, the deep state, the swamp, all right, with all the rackets and all the self-serving operations going on. They're in the middle of all that. The blame, like with Trump, will constantly go to him, and, you know, Trump is an example of this kind of scenario. And so you got to really know your history, and then you see, like, Marie Antoinette and the young Louis the 16th, they were pawns on a chessboard in a game that was beyond them. By the time they realized it all, it was too late, as it is here, almost. Now, Max Kaiser, he's an interesting guy. Of course, more than anything, he's into the Bitcoin, and he's highly promoting it. And for all those making money on it, I say, great. But two things. Number one, you're feeding the beast because they do want the digital currency system with no cash at all so they can totally control and enslave us. So you're feeding the beast if you're going into that. If you're making money, great, but you're feeding the beast. So when the beast comes back to bite you in the derriere, you know, just don't go crying to anybody. You got to have it in your hand. The other thing, when they say, like, you know, digital currency, Bitcoin, they can't control it. It's outside the central banking system. I laugh every time I hear that. Like, oh, yeah, there's no way they're going to control that. Sure. Okay. And so last point, of course, as you well know, if it's not in your hands, you don't own it. When the power goes down, there is no digital currency, right? You
yep,
got
I'm
it.
All, I, and, I totally agree with you there.
I know you do. And so now, to the Bible, the last week's conversation when I was saying that the angel that we call Lucifer today is brothers to Jesus and Jesus the Christ and Michael the archangel and all the archangels. And some Christians say, you know, they can't believe that. They can't acknowledge that. They really have a problem with that. And I get that for where they're at. But anybody that really knows the Bible, you know, can see it right in there, because it starts right off in Genesis. The sons of God found the daughters of men fair, and it came down and dwelled with them. So sons of God means that God, the Almighty, is their daddy, their father, like Jesus referred to God Almighty all the time as Father, or even more personally, Daddy, when he talked to him. And so sons, then they're brothers and sisters. You know, for those that think, too, that there's no daughters of God, that's pretty hilarious, right? And so obviously they're brothers. Now, Jesus the Christ, he's the king, though, of the angels. And then we see that when the Lord himself rebukes one of his disciples when in the garden that evening when the soldiers came that were Jewish soldiers and also some Romans under the control authority of Herod because they were assigned to Herod. And they came to arrest Jesus, and in the commotion when the swords were taken out and the soldier's ear got cut off and Jesus healed it and he said, "Sheathe your sword. Know ye not I can instantly summon a legion of angels, and they will smite everything at my command." So therefore, Jesus makes it clear, these angels, who are sons of God, they will step out of the invisible realms instantly and smite everything if their king snaps his finger. Okay? So, again, it's all there. You just, you know, you got to do your homework. You got to study. You got to contemplate it all. But it's all there if you really do your homework. Lucifer, who we call the angel today, Lucifer, he's one of the sons of God that came down, rebelled against God's way of doing things. And then there was the rebellion, the fall with the rebellion. And so, yeah, they're all brothers. And the ancients already knew that. Even in the Native Americans, some of the tribes, they referred to what we call the good angels, the sons of the right-hand path, and what we call the bad angels, the sons of the left-hand path. And ever since beginning with the rebellion, you know, left-handed people have always had a negative connotation, right? And you always wonder, where did that come from? Why is that? And that's where it all stems from.
And good boxes,
you know,
last,
if I could say. Excuse me?
They make good boxes.
Yeah, they make good pitchers, yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, sure they do. And, you know, just because you're lefty doesn't mean, but I know I grew up with lefties, and let me tell you something, they all definitely had a dark side that was more on the surface, okay? Now, the good guys,
well,
they come to terms with it.
That'd be my dad, yeah. He was a harsh one.
Yep, the good guys, they mature. When they mature, they come to terms with that and put all that in check. But, yeah, from my observations, there's something to that. And last, if I may say, you know, that what people don't understand is that, you know, these gods, these sons of gods, they're all immortal, technically, relative to us. And Jesus is their king. And so when the Lord came here, he didn't come here just to save human beings, you know, mankind, as we're taught that. It's way bigger than all that. He came to save this quadrant of creation under his rebellious brother's authority so that they cannot destroy it during the final battle, which is what we're getting close to, because they can destroy it all. And, you know, back in even 100 years ago, if you told anybody that, they'd say, that's impossible. Now we all know with technology, that's not impossible at all. Especially with scalar technology, and to verify, they had it in ancient times in their battles. We got a blown-up planet called the asteroid belt. We got artificial moons somebody put in place, and which tells us somebody's got abilities and powers that are incomprehensible to us to take moons, satellites, put them in orbit to stabilize a solar system from a tremendous war. That's just the tip of the iceberg. I'll go on with all that. But in the Bible also, it's clear that these immortals, they don't eat mortal food. And Jesus taught all this. They don't want us knowing it. And when, for example, I'll just cite it real quick. There's others, but here's one. When Samson was going to be born and the mom's pregnant, she's outside in the field, and an angel appears, an angel of the Lord, and he gives her the good tidings that she's going to give birth to a mighty warrior for the Lord. And so she gives the report to her husband, and he says, "Great, this is exciting. So if he shows back up, call me." So sure enough, he shows back up in the area.
Just
so She calls her husband over. He talks to the angel. The angel gives the good news, and he goes, this is great. I'm going to cook up, kill a calf and cook it up. We're going to feast. And what does the angel say? No.
I don't know.
He says, okay, he says, well, you can do all that, but we don't eat that stuff. You can use it as an offering to the Lord. And then the instructions to the mom the first time from the angel was, when your son is born, he has to be raised like a Nazarite. And he cannot drink anything alcohol, nor eat any of the mortal food. Okay?
Yeah.
And Jesus was a Nazarene.
And you don't get to cut his hair either.
So, that's right. So it's all, there's so much more to all this. It's really in that book, even with all the ages gone by and all the chopping and dicing and splicing of the stories from that book. And yet there's still plenty there to put the pieces together and get the big picture of what it's all about, where, how, what happened, why we are where we are, where it's all heading to, and our personal individual roles in this great drama.
Well, once again, you remember when Samson met Delilah and they were dating under that artificial moon and all things went to hell in a handbasket? That's how it works with girls. You know, you've got to take the good with the bad.
Well, yeah, Delilah was his betrothed sister, right? And then when he gave the Philistines at the wedding a riddle for them to solve, and if they solved it, then he would give them a reward. And if they couldn't solve it, they had to give him the reward, a reward. So they were really upset they couldn't resolve it. So they went to his betrothed on the wedding day and told her, look, if we can't figure this out, we're not going to be happy, and our king's going to find out about this, and you're all going to be in deep trouble. And she was a Philistine, you know, ultimately loyal to the Philistines and the monarchy. So she, with her feminine persuasion, of course, got Samson to confide to her the answer to the riddle. Then she related to the men at the wedding, the Philistine men, and then when the time came for the answer and they gave Samson the answer, he knew he was betrayed. So there was a battle, a little battle right there, a skirmish, and she got killed. His betrothed got killed, Delilah's sister. So then Delilah gradually worked her beguile on Samson. Samson's weakness was, see, one of the things with Samson was he was an amazing guy. And he was stunning in every respect, and the women loved him. So God used him to get to the Philistines because the Philistine women loved him. That made the Philistine men ticked off at him, right? And because he was an Israelite, right? And so so through that drama there, they used Delilah to get to Samson to find out his secret of his power. And then gradually Samson fell in love with her. And then the rest of the story, of course, unfolds as we know. So that's, you know, that's some more to it all. But Samson was not eating regular food that we're taught to eat. And he couldn't drink any alcohol. That was part of why he had the power, okay? It was his long hair, yes. But also he had to be raised, as the angel told him, as a Nazarite, which was the term we have. And then we come to find out Jesus was a Nazarene, so there's a direct correlation. And the good Lord himself, even though they say, you know, he drank wine, and some that don't, you know, that hate him, will say he was just a wine bibbler, you know, hanging out with lowlifes and stuff like that. Yeah, but they don't understand. The good Lord transformed everything. So the alcohol never had effect on him. Okay, because
well,
he
that
was
new wine, that
way
new wine
before
had,
that.
Alcohol content, like, 2%. I mean, it is. New wine's got, like, almost no alcohol in it at all.
Yes, but still, you know, he transformed everything. You know, if he put an impurity into his system that could defile his body temple, which he taught us all, you know, our bodies are a temple of the Spirit, and the Spirit's a temple of God. That's right in gospel, right? So anything that, if he were to put it that could defile it, which would be like a wine, then he would just transform it. Like he could do with anything. And so that has to be recognized as another feature of the good Lord. And so he was pure in all respects, and he didn't eat anything else that was mortal-based. That's all hogwash. But he did, when he drank some wine, he would transform it before it entered his system, because he had that ability. And as was clear through the rest of the scripture, he could transform anything. But I just wanted to share all that, too, so all the Christians realize there's a lot of striving, a lot of knowledge to acquire. The good Lord is the king of the angels, and the angels are technically sons and daughters of God, and they are technically immortals relative to us. And the original phase of the earth was divine, and the historians that really know history of this planet, they know in the very beginning there was some activity by these beings that seemed to never die. The Sumerians have records of their kings with their kingdoms lasting 30 to 40,000 years. We're taught today, well, that can't be, you know, according to our calendars. They had a different way of measuring time. No, that's not true at all. That was all pre-flood. Then after the flood, then their records of their king dynasties started to go down to 20,000, 15,000, 10,000, and less and less. So ultimately, I surmise it all in three phases of the earth: divine, semi-divine, then the mortals. Then it goes back to the divine again. That's the end of the Bible. Revelation. Jesus returns, restores everything. There's no more death, no more disease like it was in Adam and Eve's garden. No death, no disease. So they were immortals, obviously, too, at that time before the fall. And then everything goes back to immortals again, as Revelation says, because if there's no death or no disease, then obviously there's no mortals, right? And the way of the mortals' way of living is gone, you see? And so that's a whole nother perspective that is never considered or taught by any authorities at the pulpits or anything, because apparently it's beyond their understanding, but this is really what it's all about. And we're just now in the middle of a huge battle going on since the beginning of time that's culminating soon. But because of the grace of the good Lord, this section of fallen creation is under his authority and will be restored and redeemed, and the rebellious angels will not be able to destroy it all when they go down.
Well, I would agree with you, but I think for the time being we can't take this conversation too much farther. Did have some things I wanted to say with regard to this exact deal. I want you to call back next week because we're going to do this some more. But thanks for your call, Michael. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. Have a nice day.
Thanks, Michael.
Yes, I will.
Saturday. Thank you.
I sure will. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, you know, what I wanted to say with respect to Michael's call of this weekend, last week, is this. Lefties, the deep state, the progressives, whoever you want to call them, you've got socialists, communists, Marxists, anarchists, pedophiles, the worst kind of human beings imaginable. But when it comes to something like voting to impeach the president, they vote 100% to 0%. They lock arms because the hatred of anything like the Constitution or family values is so great that they will unite against it. I noticed that last week some folks were semi-irritated about, let's say, Michael's take on this or that, or anybody's take on that. Catholics espouse, and I say Catholics, I mean in general, espouse something called transubstantiation, whereas Protestants go with consubstantiation. What that means is that the Eucharist, the communion host that you get on Sunday, is actually the body of the Christ, that
A priest can actually transform that thing, just like it says in the Bible, into this. Now, Protestants say that's BS, okay?
Okay.
But certain individuals in the Christian community will fight tooth and nail over this subject. They will literally hate each other for a lifetime over this ridiculous disagreement. When it gets right down to it, none of you know. You're all guessing. There is a third possibility, and that both work. That transubstantiation and consubstantiation works, and there is absolutely no reason why Christians should bicker about anything. We have an enemy, and it isn't your brother in arms. There are no atheists in foxholes, and we are at war with a certain group of individuals, and we'll call them globalists who are running the left-wing show, socialists, whatever. There is a common enemy, and the last thing that we have time to do is bicker amongst ourselves. So even if you don't agree with Michael 100%, trust me, if you were in a firefight and Michael was there, you'd like it. So, you know, that's where I want to go with that. So you were going to bet, well, yeah, I mean, look, I was in the Army. You know, there were people that I didn't care much for, but they were decent warriors. And come on, that's all I care about is, you know, who's going to be my brother in tough times? I'm guessing Mike from Kentucky. I'm guessing Jerry from Texas. I'm guessing Michael from New York and the rest of these guys. I think they'll have my back. I don't have time to talk about whether or not a communion host is or isn't the body of Christ. You're forgetting the third possibility, and that with God, all things are possible. You know, don't get arrogant on us. You know, you got to admit, you don't really know, but we're going to find out. I can promise you that.
I do agree with that.
Well,
definitely.
So what are you saying? Okay. There's no callers there?
No, we have a caller. I believe we still have one. Let me double check my tablet here real quick.
Because I can, I can do common kitchen herbs if not, because I've been waiting to get to that.
Well, we do. We have Tom in Utah, and then I think after Tom, let's get to your herbs because we need to cover that before the end of the show today, and we're running out of time. So we're going to go to Tom in Utah real quick. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Hey, kind of as a follow-up to Mike, a lot of that may be, you know, debatable. However, biologically, he's pretty much on. And the reason I say that is I really want to complain because I've lost two more wonderful patriots this last week. You know, we have the wisdom or the savvy from the 40s and the 50s, you know, to labor to preserve or restore the Constitution. But most of these patriots do not have the wisdom or savvy to maintain or restore their own Constitution. So we're losing them like, you know, I was going to say like flies, but to back up Michael's perception, one of the reasons, and of course now I'm speaking as a former pathologist, we have not complied with Genesis 1 and, one and 29, and we've more appropriately fulfilled Isaiah 66, 3 and 4. So the diseases that are promised when we violate that wisdom are taking out our patriots. And right now, we don't have any patriots replacing the ones we're losing. Like you say, I'm really brokenhearted that my patriots are disappearing around me because they're focused on the Constitution in Washington, D.C., but not focusing on their own Constitution. Anyway, I just want to put in that word. I want my patriots to survive. You know, I'm pushing 80. And I look around and I don't see anybody else around me that has the desire or the will or the capability of protecting the Constitution for our kids and grandkids. By the way, I'm getting reports more on some more injuries and deaths in the trailer, so I really wish people would look at gassingamerica.com and share that around with your families and friends. And nationally, it's about one out of every 12 live in a manufactured mobile home, and this has been a mechanism for the dark angel to remove some of the more humble people of America. So please go to Gassing America. Realize that you're being injured or poisoned by the government. And by knowing what they're doing, you can fix it.
Everyone, please check out gassingamerica.com for Tom. And Tom, thank you so much for your call. We're going on our last break before the end of our show. So we have no more time for calls. We'll be back in just a few minutes, folks. Thanks.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back. Okay, we have a few minutes left of our show, and Rick wanted to talk about some of the herbs.
I don't think we'll ever get there. I got pages on that, but...
well, we can do it now, or we can...
Well, we'll probably push a bunch of this off till next week.
Okay.
But with respect to Ken, I think it's
it's very important that you let artists express themselves. Otherwise, they just explode on you. Yeah, next week we're going to, this is a, it's an interesting subject. I'll give you what they call a teaser line. Things in your kitchen cabinet, like cinnamon, ginger, turmeric, black pepper, cayenne, those things have been medicine for thousands of years. What the allopathic medical community has done is to copy their properties in certain ways and then create a medicine that is man-made, that mimics these things, and then they sell it back to you for exorbitant prices. So next week we're going to talk about those things, cinnamon, turmeric, oregano, which, by the way, I grow. I got 50 square feet of oregano, which I will not ever get rid of because of its properties. Cayenne, black pepper. I want to talk about mandrakes, that is ginseng. Ginger, holy basil. And I might actually come up with one or two more because I simply ran short of time, but we never did get to it. I will say one thing about peppers, though. For years, I've been growing hot peppers, and I never do anything with them because, they are tough to deal with the day after. But this year, I grew pepperoncinis, which is a classic salad pepper. And what you'll find out is if you grow them, first of all, they're incredibly prolific. They grow peppers like you can't believe. I had six plants and I got two 5-gallon buckets full. When you go to pickle them up, they're crunchy, they're good, but they have no heat. So what I do with those is I put a half a slice of jalapeno in there, along with some onion and some just whatever you want to put in there. I usually put in a little Greek sprinkle spice in there. Along with maybe a little caraway and some other, you can kind of express yourself. They're your pickled peppers. You can do whatever you want. Garlic might be okay, but you know, for peppers, you know, I'm only bringing that up because it was a side note on the cayenne page. We'll talk about that next week. I will grow those again because first of all, they produce so much food, and I'll be eating those all winter, and that is what I'm all about. I don't want to run you out of time. What do you think, Lily?
Well, Ken says he loves the peppers, so we're good there.
Oh, man.
I'm with Ken.
Oh, the hot ones? Oh, yeah. Not good for Rick. Not good.
Right?
I love them, too. They just can't stand me. You know, I get that a lot. Yeah, that's a common theme in my life.
Well, we'll definitely cover those next Saturday. I just want to remind everybody real quick again, Veterans Day is Monday. So whether, you know, it's a service member or, as Rick pointed out, first responders, police officers, you know, if you see them and you would like to thank them in some way, you know, buy them a meal if you can, or just going up and say thank you for your service, you know, it means a lot to these guys and ladies, I should say. So don't forget them, and want everybody to stay safe. And hopefully come and listen to us again next weekend. Until then, from Rick and I and Tim, who could be with us, God bless, stay safe, and we'll be here next weekend. Bye-bye.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.